itself to truly, truly slip down into the non-winning mindset. I forgot to celebrate all of my wins, especially the small ones. And I focused so much on being like, well, I wanted to do these 10 things this week. I didn't do them, so there's something wrong. And I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with not completing all of the tasks that you set out to complete in your life. I want you to understand that even though you didn't complete all of the tasks, you still did some things. For some of you, the task that you completed was just resting. We often forget that rest is so, so important in our lives. Again, we get so caught up in the, no, I needed to set this up, to do this thing, to add this thing, to create this thing, to go to this place. And although some of those things do guide us and lead us to the things that we want, ultimately, for our main goal list, some of those things also allow us to become so overwhelmed that we're no longer listening to our bodies. Listening to your body, super powerful and super important, because this prevents you from being burned out. Burnout is one of the biggest problems we have in the world right now, especially in the 9-to-5 workforce and in the entrepreneur mindset. As entrepreneurs, we're like, go, 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 go. I've got to make it from zero all the way to a zillion. And what happens for a lot of us is we get so caught up in the game that we make it to a zillion and we actually aren't happy where we are. It's something different than we thought it was going to actually be. That's happened to me so many times. There's so many times in my life where I was so focused on making it to the next level or being somewhere that everyone else was at that I came to realize I actually don't like what I'm doing right now. I did this as a photographer. If you really knew me, you would know that for about 5 years, I was a professional fashion and runway photographer. I was literally going and doing photo shoots at Milan Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week, London Fashion Week, Sydney Fashion Week, Jaipur and India Fashion Week, Kiev Fashion Week. I was all over the world. And I thought I wanted to do this because I saw other photographers. I was like, I was a small time photographer. I wanted to work with Vogue. And I did. In two years as a photographer, I was already working with Vogue Italia. I was grinding, grinding, grinding. Now, the other side of that story that people didn't see is that I was burned out. I lost so much weight during like a single week of Fashion Week. I would literally lose like 3 to 4 pounds. I wasn't eating. I was always editing photos, wasn't sleeping. I was always out partying because you want to meet everyone and connect with people. And then I'd come back home after like almost like 3 straight weeks and there's like a small couple breaks and I would just be burned out and I would be drained. And then I would project on everybody. You know, I would get people that would be like, hey, Kadara, we're going to hang out this weekend. And I'd be like, actually, I'm super tired and this is going on. And what I started to do is, although I started to lose friends, I would actually tell myself, and this was ego speaking, ego would say, you didn't lose any friends. They're just not there with you. They don't vibrate with you. They don't resonate with you. That was my spiritual ego. I was like, these people don't understand me. But they did understand me. And I would literally have friends that would be like, yo, you should take a break. Just chill. And I'm like, I can't. I had so much FOMO, the fear of missing out on like a great opportunity, that I literally pushed everyone in my life away. And it got to the point where I remember some nights being like all alone by myself. I think the first time it like really got bad, I drank like 2 bottles of Moscato by myself and was just in my shit and was just like, you know what? No one understands me and no one cares and no one's ever gonna be there to support me. And then I just let go of myself and like everything. Started smoking more weed. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I started smoking more, started doing more plant medicine. And I was doing the plant medicine, also spiritual ego, telling myself that that is what was gonna get me to like the next stage in my career, in my life, but I was actually abusing those tools. I was abusing the things I was putting into my body that were meant to help me ascend, and I was just descending lower and lower. So what I want to remind you all is that there comes a time in your life where you have to remember to celebrate all the little things you've done in your life that are actually have had a big impact on where you are now. For instance, it's like the littlest thing of sleeping or taking a nap for 30 minutes, going to sleep an hour early, meaning I could wake up an hour earlier, meaning I wasn't as burned out as I could have been. It's those little things such as, oh, I journaled today, Or, oh, I meditated once today. That one meditation that you do today is going to impact you for the rest of your life, because maybe you'll do it again tomorrow. If you're stressed today and you meditate today, and then you get stressed tomorrow and you meditate tomorrow, and you get stressed the next day and you keep doing it, you're now creating a routine of, when I am stressed, I meditate and I feel better. If you're able to do that, i.e. replacing some type of other tool that you use to shut everything off and block it out with meditation, you've done something. A lot of people are meditating today. You meditated for 5 minutes. Some of you meditated today for a minute. Some of you sat down when you were upset or angry and you were like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna let it go. I'm not gonna freak out. Okay. It's not that big of a deal. It's like 20 seconds. You just meditated, meaning you dove deep into yourself, allowing yourself to be present with yourself. You meditated. You got into a level of awareness where you realized it wasn't worth the energy. You didn't want to waste your energy on something that didn't bring more value to your life. You didn't want to give that energy or give your power away to someone else. You chose not to leak your power or energy, and then you focused on something else. Maybe it wasn't the huge tasks that you wanted to complete. Maybe you didn't go shopping today and do all the things you wanted to do, but you did something. You meditated. So I challenge you all to remember and celebrate that small win of meditation. Celebrate the fact that you're constantly, constantly doing amazing things in your life that may not be the big thing, but they lead to the big thing. Because one day, that big opportunity is going to come and be right in front of you, and you're literally going to be able to just fully receive it, because all of these other challenges have happened and you break through them. And now when the big challenge comes, you're just like, oh, this is easy. I don't really need to do anything. Thank you. Thank you, universe, God, source, creator. I will take this and I will integrate it. Now imagine if you spend every single day beating yourself up over and over and over again over something that is so small. And then the big thing comes and you're like, oh, now you're going to give me all of this. I can't hold all of this stuff. This is too much. I'm overwhelmed. And this is common in the spiritual community. So many of you in the spiritual community are constantly asking the universe, God, source, creator, whomever you believe in, hey, give me more. I asked for this. I want this. I need more. And the universe is giving it to you and you're hoarding it. You're taking one thing and you're taking another, and then you're like trying to hold all the things up, and it's overwhelming because you're not integrating. And you're not integrating because you're not allowing yourself to celebrate that you were able to handle this one and handle this one and handle this one. You're holding on to it and you're like, no, it's not the way I think it should be. And the universe is like, no, you got it. The simple fact that you were able to hold on to this and be aware that that's a trigger, or that's something you fear, or that's something you're going to work on, or that it's inner child healing or shadow work or whatever it is, just being aware of it actually makes it that much lighter. And then you can just tuck it away somewhere and be like, I'm going to work on this tomorrow. And then I'm going to work on this tomorrow, and I'm going to focus on this today, because if I take care of this one thing, it'll help with these two things. Again, celebrating these small wins of shadow work, being aware, inner child healing. You get all these lessons from those things, and then you get to take them so that when the big thing comes, you're like, oh, this is really easy. I've done the shadow work. I've done the inner child healing. I've allowed myself to process things. I no longer beat myself up over X, Y, Z. I meditated today when I was stressed. I didn't go smoke a cigarette or take out my vape pen or go drink alcohol or go curse someone out or project. Projection, so small. Someone, which happens all the time, a lot of us are triggered because there's trolls and people just like messing with people online. Like, think of the last time someone said something to you online and you were like, yeah, it's cool. Not going to give my energy to it. Celebrate it. That's a win. Because for a lot of us, like 2 years ago, for me, like 5 years ago, if someone had triggered me online, like the stuff people say now, especially like I get called the N-word online all the time. Doesn't bother me. You're projecting. I get people that tell me like, oh, spirituality is woo-woo bullshit. I've had people tell me only Jesus Christ and Christianity can do sound healing and sound bathing. I've heard tons of shit, especially in these last couple months. And when it happens, I'm just like, thank you. It doesn't bother me. Why? Because I know and I believe in myself so much that there's nothing anyone can really say to knock me off that balance. because I chose this path. I asked for all these things. And although they may weigh me down, I take the time to process them. And I don't have to give my energy to the people that don't believe in me. I'm here to serve the people that are here to listen, or the people that are there to walk with me. Anyone that doesn't want to serve or walk with me, I'm not making them stay around. So every message they type, every hateful word they say, it's perfectly fine for me. It doesn't bother me at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to continue serving. I'm going to keep meditating. I'm going to keep doing what I came here to do. And whatever they choose to do is whatever they choose to do. That's their race. That's their path. That's their story. That's their legacy. It has nothing to do with me. What may happen is one day they'll come back into my vortex, my sphere, my container. And it's happened before where I've had people say super negative things to me. And then at some point, months later, they'll reach out to me. And I can see the last message that they sent where they were venting or projecting. And they'll be like, Kadara, you posted something about this and I have a question. And I'll be like, sure, what's up? And I'll answer the question. And then sometimes they'll see the last thing and they'll be like, I want to apologize also 5 months ago. And I'm like, it's cool. You were maybe in a bad space. Maybe you just weren't happy. I don't know what it was. And I receive what you're offering. Like your apology, I receive it. I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody. I have no reason to hate anyone. That right there for me is a huge thing because I've done it a lot this year. For me to just be like, I receive it. Thank you. I'm not mad at you. Big, big change in my life because I come from the military and I used to be very, very prideful. And it wasn't the fact that I was forgiving the person. Again, forgiveness is interpersonal. I can't forgive someone for something they did because I can't control them. I can only forgive myself for feeling the way that I felt. So in those moments, what I learned to do is I forgave myself for feeling the way that I did when it happened. So I told that person, I was like, I can't forgive you, only you can forgive yourself. And I receive your apology. And I want you to know that I love you unconditionally and I'm always here for you. And I'm always here for anyone, no matter what they've done. There's a difference though. I still have boundaries. So there are people in my life that have gone beyond the boundary after the boundary has been set because people think they're God or privileged more than I am. And I have no problem being like, I love you unconditionally, but you also won't be in my space. There are a lot of people that I love unconditionally and I don't keep them in my space. That means I love you no matter what you say or do. And I appreciate you and I'm grateful to have you in this world, but I do not have the energetic capacity to hold on to whatever this could be because I have realized that your presence, who you are, does not serve the best version of myself. And maybe there could be a day where that changes, but right now in this present perfect moment that I am living in, this reality that is me, it does not work. And I let people know that and people get mad and that's okay because I still love them. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Now I'm gonna just jump straight into question mode. So if anyone has any questions on either of the platforms of TikTok or Instagram, let me know. I will do my best to shotgun answer these or laser coach these things through. True, I am still prided and I haven't ever been in the military. True, pride is something, especially in America. Like I'm not saying that every American has it, but I've noticed that pride is such a huge thing in this country and around the world. Pride is the aspect of us not really being able to let go of the understanding that we are not the best because a lot of us were told we were the best at something or we have had to prove to ourselves and others that we are the best. So there's always that pride of, if I believe I'm number one and I'm the best, no one can ever change anything and they can't tell me shit. And that becomes ego. So our pride and our ego intertwine together and that level of pride did not serve me. So I had to let that go. True, unconditional love is super, super powerful. When do you do the morning hugs? I jump on here randomly now. I know a lot of people, I used to get on here all the time, like every single morning. And that was like a boundary that I had to set for myself because when I didn't jump on, I would get messages and people would be like, where are you? I woke up this morning at 7 and you weren't there. And it's just like, I was like, oh man, I started feeling guilty. And then I realized I don't need to feel guilty if I wanna go do yoga. Cause I started doing yoga at that time. And I would do yoga for 60 to 90 minutes. And then I jump off and then I go meditate and relax. So I jump on a lot more randomly now on the platforms. I just let it be intuition. And I decide just how I send out my love now. I love and appreciate how you expose these terms. It's great to hear someone else speaking my thoughts. Awesome. What I've come to also learn is I feel like terms are definitely used differently among people. And there's always like another way to see something. And there's a talk I'm going to do on a podcast, I think in like a week or two, about narcissism. So I have no problem admitting that at some point in my life, I was a narcissist. And people will be like, oh, no. And I don't mean like I had narcissistic traits. Like I was a fucking narcissist. Like I had NPD, diagnosed in the military. Narcissism was my coping mechanism for combat PTSD. And it's not an excuse. It's just when I came back from Iraq twice in Afghanistan that one time, I was in my shit and I was just, no one understood me. And a lot of people did hurtful things to me back home that really, really destroyed me. My ex-girlfriend got pregnant by someone that was like really close to me. So that really destroyed me. I just had a lot of crazy things happen. And I took that anger out on everyone else. Now, what I did was, is I have grown up in a spiritual community. So I'm very great at reading energy. We're all empaths. And I am great at reading people in their eyes and their body language and just their aura. And because I was so hurt, my spiritual ego took over and I started to use that against people. Like I knew what people were thinking. I knew what they needed to hear. I knew what they needed to say. And I used that in a very, very negative way to where I ended up hurting a lot of people. And in that process, I probably did that for about 2 or 3 years. And when I got out of that, my focus was shifting in a way that I could remedy that. I guess in a sense, it was my atonement because I realized how many people I hurt. So I can honestly say that, yes, you could meet a narcissist and they are capable of changing, but they have to be willing to change. And for me, the change came from someone pointing out where I was hurting in a way that I understood it. Now, this doesn't mean for like everyone to go out there and go to a narcissist and be like, you're hurting. I heard Kadawra say this, and I know you're in pain. Everyone's different, but it was one of my best friends, Jessica. Something happened to her. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. And Jessica was like, my sister. And I felt very overprotective. And she's like, you do the same shit to people. And I was like, me? And she was telling me all these things I had done. And I started to reflect and was like, oh, wow, I do all those things. That's crazy. And in that process of realizing that I do those things, I realized that I wanted to make amends for them. So I did. It took me about like unofficially, probably like 6 or 7 years to like get my shit together, which is a long time, which is why I love coaching now, because I can shorten that time for people. But it did. It took me about 6 or 7 years to like find myself and heal through my own trauma and pain. To heal from the PTSD, that took almost like 10 years. That took about 10 years because I did it on my own. I like traveled the world and did all these things and was able to bring myself back. So in healing my narcissistic personality disorder helped me heal my combat PTSD, which helped me heal my inner child healing, which put me in a space and place where I can share and just be like super grounded. Like I get a lot of people that are like, Kadawra, you're very, very grounded. You're very calm. I was a completely different person 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I had almost no hair. I wore a staff sergeant on my chest. I was in command of units. I was a 50 cal gunner, UH-60 gunner. I was a beast and I was dangerous and I was hurting. I was in so much fucking pain back then. And after 14 years of service, I was like, I can't do this to myself anymore because I was out of integrity with how I grew up in Japan. Like there came a point where it was like, I understood the spiritual journey, why I was on this path. And I just like fell off the path and lost myself. So in order to find myself again, I was like, I'm going to need to leave this environment because it was very toxic for me. It's for all of you. If you know you're in a healing state, and I understand that it's a pandemic, but if the environment that you're in is toxic, start doing the things you need to do, whether it be saving up money, working the shit job you don't want to work, not shit job, working the job you are too prideful to work in to save up the money to leave. I had a client where we worked together for like a year and this kid was working at McDonald's, so prideful when I first made the idea to do it, or told him the idea to do it, and ended up like really changing his life. But you got to move out of that environment. So I left the military to move myself out of that toxic environment so I could truly heal from a space where everything around me wasn't like stabbing me, literally, like putting me and throwing me under the bus all the time. And then I got to find myself more in nature. I started connecting more to the trees, connecting more to water. Like taking a bath or a shower became a ritual when I understood that the water in the bathtub or the shower was coming from the earth, and the bathtub itself was made from the earth. And all of these things were like super earthly, and I was breathing in air, and it was super powerful. And that journey is what brought me to where I am today. Because I've been through those things, I can speak on them. Like I wouldn't just be up here talking shit about narcissism, because it's so funny, because I always get people that are like, narcissists can't change. Yeah, you can't get rid of PTSD. I'm like, you can. You can't get rid of it. It's still there, but it doesn't bother me. Like I worked through it. And that is a message so that you all understand that you can literally get through anything if you're willing to have the courage to put in the work to go beyond what people have told you you can't do. Because everyone used to tell me that. Everyone's like, you're always going to be a narcissist. You're always going to have PTSD. And I would see other, like, I met a World War II vet, and he's probably the only person I ever met that was so fucking chill. And because of him, I realized that it could be done. Like, he was so calm. Like, he did a lot of crazy stuff, and I saw his record. Guy was crazy. Not crazy. Not, it's like the stuff he had to do was crazy. So I'm letting you all now, no matter what your mental illness, disability, or whatever it may be, like you can truly get through it. You just got to really want it. Like you got to put in the effort, you got to put in the work. And know that you're never alone. Like I did it all by myself because I thought I was alone. And I never once ever reached out. And it wasn't until I actually finally did reach out that the shit just went boop. Like literally the moment I reached out for help, everything changed because I found people that were willing to help me and stuff like that. When you came across my FYP, your video made me cry because it gave me good energy right away. That's what's up. That's beautiful. A narc could be aware, but they're less than likely to change who they are, unfortunately. And this is the mindset of why a lot of narcissists don't change, because people don't give them the chance. One person, it took one person that gave me a chance to become aware. It's the subtle thoughts. The messages you just typed in here saying that they could be aware, but they're less likely to change, is a reason why a lot of people don't change. Because you're going to keep telling them, you'll never change. You'll never change the next person. You'll never change the next person. You'll never change. And that gets so burned into their subconscious that they actually believe they can never change. But if you were to support them and be like, hey, you're a narcissist, I'm not going to have you in my space, and if you ever choose to change, I'm here for you, it'd be super powerful. It would be super, super powerful. So I'm gonna leave that message with you all, sending much, much love and admiration. And just to understand that life can be a lot more simple if you allow it to be. Don't give up on yourself. So yeah, I'm still gonna be here on TikTok, and I'm still gonna be recording for the podcast because I love you all and I hope you're all doing well. And just know, do not ever give up on yourself. Not once. Good hour out.